This is a homebrew podcast.
New letter time, everyone. Gather round, gather round.
Oh boy, all right.
This one is from Libert?
Libert?
That seems Libert. Unlikely.
Could no, look, we... read it.
Liberté, I believe. Is that Liberté? Right?
But shouldn't it have that little...
It sounds a little bit draconic. Liberté. I think it's Liberté. actually.
Jonathan Bastille.
Oh! I'm sorry, can you say that again, Ambrose? I didn't catch it the first time.
Somebody has cast a terrible curse and everybody's laughing at this word.
You know, I'm not terribly educated on languages, but I think your Sylvan pronunciation is not quite right.
Is this right? Liberté. Did I do it right?
That's
you nailed it.
I didn't know you could speak draconic.
Okay. Oh, neither did I.
What does your new friend say in their letter?
It's empty.
What a mysterious entity. I like this friend, Ferrick. This seems like an interesting person. Perhaps
what a mystery.
Well, thank you for your mysterious letter and an evening of intrigue, new friend.
Yeah, thank you, Libert.
Welcome to Power Word Fail, a Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition actual play podcast. I'm your Dungeon Master, Cody. But enough about me, let's introduce the real stars of the podcast, starting with Andy.
Pickles, a new landowner.
Nathan.
Eugene the Useful, Ambrose's personal research assistant.
Allie.
Navara, who's highly triggered with OCD right now.
Austin.
Ferrick, the best growler smuggler this side of the theocracy.
Ian.
Ambrose Busan, and you can't fool me, Prince.
Katie.
Idolia Ruin, who certainly knows how to look for books in a library. It's going to go so well.
And joining us will be Tyrell.
Ravenaw, I'm not entirely sure why I'm here.
Sounds about right.
And again, I am the Dungeon Master, Cody, and this is episode 41 of Power Word Fail. Last time, as the failures prepared to head out for dinner with Daddy Abernathy, Navara pulled Pickles aside and asked for permission to inspect her affliction. A quick casting of legend lore later, and she learned that sometimes people who have died and are resurrected retain some of the qualities of decay. Vinny Udmath, the court wizard of Eric the Terrible, was one such person, and was, in fact, a lich. Navara knows it might be possible to reverse Pickles' condition, but that such a ritual would have to be done somewhere with close connection to the decay crystal. The party then headed to the Abernathy estate for dinner, where Cornelius offered them an unexpected gift, a parcel of land between Farrington and Northwatch, 100 acres to do with what they pleased, as long as he gets a 10% cut of any profits. After a rousing discussion of Mornstead tax law, the group headed outside to watch Navara perform her soul-binding ritual and attempt to repair Evangeline's soul. Something pink and celestial appeared, but the whole event seemed a bit too perfect, and a bit too different for the failures to believe their friend had truly been restored. They then chose to spend the rest of their evening researching the many unanswered questions their adventures had left them with, and after collecting Ravenaw from his early bedtime, headed to the castle to search the royal library for answers. And that's where we'll pick up. You are in the library. The musty smell of books is very overwhelming as you begin digging through the various shelves. It is dark. It is lit by candles and torches and sconces. There is a very large chandelier that is lit by magic orbs with the light spell permanently enchanted on them. There is a old man eyeing you as he pretends to read his book. as you all sit in the corner drinking and attempting to research.
So as Ambrose is doing his own thing, I would certainly try to start looking through the disorganized books. I would probably call out to Navara different topics that I'm looking for. Well, given what I'm looking for, maybe I wouldn't call it out. I would ask if Navara sees anything related to dragons or the Hero's Light while I'm looking through the disorganized books for topics related to the prince, the witch, or the dark matron, or whatever that was called. So
I would not have brought up the Hero's Light to you, only to Adalia and Ferrick.
Okay. So the prince, the dark matron, and so would that be like an investigation check or some other?
Yeah, so you could roll either a history, an investigation, maybe a religion for the prince stuff.
Right. If investigation can encapsulate all of it, that's best.
Whichever is your best skill.
Okay, cool. And Ravana, were you assisting me with this? Was that?
I was going to ask somebody. I believe each of you had help except for Ferrick, or no, except for Ambrose, who had that spell that was going to give him advantage.
Sweet. Well, that's only a 12.
I was going to reach over to Eugene and suggest, why don't you do this? I've already organized it, and then I'll touch him and cast Bardic Inspiration on him. And mine's only a D6.
Oh, well, thank you, Navara.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appreciate the suggestion. That brings it up to a 17.
Yeah, that would help. You find some books on the prince. They are very old and moldy, but there are a few select tomes. Nothing that doesn't tell you anything that you don't already know. Go ahead and give me one more roll and another investigation check with advantage as well.
Oh, good.
A 26.
Okay. not a crit fail, but a 26.
Nice.
Oh, thanks, Ravano. I forgot that the index is the back of some of these books instead of just the front.
According to your research, the prince is a demigod. You know, he's a god of love. He was ousted. He was banished. You cannot find the reason why he was banished, but you have your hunches. I'm trying to think of what you would find in here that would be really worth your time, Miraz.
I mean, this may not be in any recorded tome, but definitely stuff about, like, illusions of dead people that he has devoured and assuming their form to make us think that they're safe. Maybe that's a little bit specific, but something along those lines.
I mean, I think you could frame it as, is there any record of the prince sundering a soul before? And if so, what happened?
I would say that according to your research, you're beginning to think that that was not the prince's doing, that he wasn't responsible for sundering Evangeline's soul.
Oh, shit.
You do understand that basically there are records of him doing that, you know, kind of using people's images and identities in that way. But according to all the records you find, everyone's a willing participant. You know, there's no real records that go back far enough to say that he, you know, that these people aren't in league with the prince. But there definitely seems to be a record of people that are in league with the prince staying in league with the prince forever.
Great. Miraz will definitely collect that.
That's not, you know, concerning at all.
Right. So would I make a separate roll for stuff regarding the, I believe her name was the Dark Matron?
Yeah.
Let's see. 25.
That's so good.
Navara, you've really done a wonder sorting this shelf over here.
Thanks. I've only got 50 more to go.
Well, Godspeed.
You find a book about the entities of the Blackwood, and there is a chapter on the witch, and it goes into her personality and her behavior. She is very old, one of the oldest demigods. She is unkillable in our world. She has to be killed in the Blackwood.
The Blackwood being an entirely different plane.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is probably the most pertinent thing that you find. Most of the information that you find is just about what it's like in the Blackwood and the kinds of creatures that you would encounter there. There is a jester, a huntsman, a witch. These are strange, mysterious figures that lurk in there. There are other monsters as well. For the most part, it says that they all, their wants and desires are almost all in the Blackwood itself. Like, they usually don't interfere with the mortal plane.
Okay.
Ferrick is going to be looking, like, through some tomes, through some books, is going to peer through the shelving to Eugene and is going to cast message.
Okay.
And remind Eugene to look for not only the prince, but look for Halazar.
And as you, like, push the books to the side so that we can make eye contact, I'm reading something spooky about the witch, and I, like, drop the book. And then you say that in my head. I'm like, okay, right, got it. And I'll turn back to the other book that had the information about the prince in it. I'll scan for the name Halazar. Does that reveal any additional information, or is it just more of the same? Is his name written down anywhere as well? That's something I would take note of.
I would say to roll another investigation check.
All right. Got 24 if Ravenna is helping. Given that I didn't say the name out loud, he might not be. So that, otherwise, that would be a 9.
Would my message count as helping?
I definitely think it would get him another roll. But unless you're willing to tell Ravenna the name so he can help you.
I think I would not speak the name out loud. So just another roll from messaging or from Ferrick messaging me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a 20.
I do not think you find anything.
Okay. Well, that's useful as well.
Yeah.
Cool.
Just roll one thing real quick. Yeah, you definitely don't.
So I'm wondering, Eugene, from what I've heard and from these books, deals with the prince, the wayward demigod, are usually of one's own free will. What would bring you to make a deal with such an entity?
A lot of bad decisions, I'll be upfront about that. I am deeply regretful of a lot of things, but we mentioned our companions who have fallen along our journey. One of those companions was very dear to me, and when she died, she had a similar arrangement as the one that I then sought out, which I did in hopes to somehow rescue her from her peril. Because we tended to believe that making any kind of deal with this entity is a very bad idea. Given that she did, I thought maybe I should as well, so that I can help her undo that.
Indeed. Well, though your choice
may have been foolish.
It sounds
really dumb saying it out loud, to be honest.
It may have been foolish, but it was noble, in a way. Doing that is quite the sacrifice for a friend, for even a glimmer of hope. I can respect that, in a way. I do believe, once we've accomplished the goals that we have to expel this evil and retrieve the crystal, I do think that the Order may be able to help you if you want to separate yourself from him.
That is excellent news. I think that Navara has some leads on that end as well, but I'll take whatever help I can get.
Well, if it is something you want, because it must be something you want, and it wouldn't be easy, but I do believe I could aid you.
Thank you, Ravenna.
Of course. You carry a heavy burden, son.
Eugene will subconsciously glance at Ravenna's deep V-cut shirt and swoon just a tiny bit.
Well, it seems that with that information and it doesn't seem like we have much other than, I think your initial queries, the shopkeep, wasn't he the one who dealt with something like this similar? I think I've heard stories he used to tell them, him and his friend.
Yes, Velvanus, yes, he's a magical shopkeep.
This could explain why this matron isn't dead, after all. If she can't be killed and can only be banished, she may have found a way to return to the mortal plane. But I'm not understanding why she wants the crystal. They don't normally come into the mortal plane, and they don't normally concern themselves with
especially the crystals, the break in the balance of power would be immense. It's hard to wrap my head around.
Indeed. I'm surprised that,
Has it been an hour?
Yeah, it's coming up on an hour.
Can I attune to two items within an hour, or is it two hours for one item, for two items?
Yeah, you could attune to two items at the same time. I don't see why not.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
I'm going to attune to my Gauntlets of Vulgar Power and my Headband of Intellect.
Unless there's some sort of specific rule otherwise.
Before the hour is up, so that if Ambrose still needs advantage on his checks, Adalia has the growler and has poured one of the growlers and has poured drinks for anyone who wants one. And then as soon as everyone kind of like scatters to the wind to look, she kind of looks around this library, which is something that she's never experienced before. You know, she's never been in a position to have any kind of like book learning, so to speak, and has no idea how to even begin to search a library. So as soon as no one's looking, she is going to cast Locate Object and specify that she's looking for books about the Hero's Light.
All right. So you cast the spell, and you find that there are no books in this entire place for 1,000 feet
sure.
mentioning the Hero's Light.
Can she then cast it again, looking for anything about the Rock of Bristol?
Yes. And again, you find nothing.
Nothing. Excellent.
Roll a D100 check. Just a D100 percentile.
Okie dokie. D100. 100! I've never done that before!
Look at that.
Wow.
Whoa!
Your spell lasts for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And as you're concentrating, you know, you are thinking to yourself, well, I would sense it if it was here. And as you are letting go of the concentration, you sense 1,000 feet away something mm-hmm. enter your range and then leave again.
Adalia is going to go after it. She's going to head in that direction and see if she can see if anybody entered the library or not. And if there's no evidence of that, she will upcast Locate Object at third level, which does nothing but burns a third level spell slot, and search again for that.
Hey, where are you going? We're supposed to be looking for books.
Ferrek, darling, I am looking for books, but I think I found a workaround so that we don't have to, you know, go book by book, so to speak. I'll be right back.
Ferrek looks disappointed, but nods.
Oh.
Idalia, you start leaving the library. You start wandering around. You follow this sense as it leads you into a alley. And eventually you find a sheet of paper blowing around in the wind.
What? Okay, Idalia will grab the paper.
You pick it up. And there is a very well-defined drawing of an extremely ripped man. And it says, Rock of Bristol, Everton.
It says Everton on it?
One night only.
One night only. Adalia, can I do a perception check? To see if there's anyone, like, in the alley?
Yeah.
Okay. 17. Not great.
You look around and you are completely alone. You look at the paper. It is tattered. It is old.
Okay.
It looks like it is months old.
All right. Does the man on the paper look familiar to me in any way? Is this someone that I have, like, seen? Like, is there anything about him that stands out other than the fact that he's ripped?
Roll a history check.
Ugh, history is bad. Okay. Let's
Daddy get a lot of strip joints when she disappears at night.
Oh, nope. That's a 7. Adalia doesn't know shit.
No. This man is unfamiliar. You're looking at the paper, mm-hmm. and it doesn't, all of this seems very strange to you. It's It seems to be a flyer for some kind of a street fighter.
A street fighter, you say? Not a stripper? Adalia's vaguely disappointed. Adalia will go back to the little corner that they kind of camped out at with her flyer for a street fighter. And she will sit there sipping on her growler and contemplating what she has found.
Did you find what you were looking for?
Ferric, darling, come here and look at this. Wouldn't you think that this person was a stripper? I think he's a street fighter. How disappointing.
He's wearing, like, a Speedo, a bandana. He has, like, feathers on his, like, draped around his neck.
A huge handlebar mustache.
I mean, definitely looks like a stripper.
Right? That's what I thought, but I feel like the context implies that he is, you know, cage fighting or whatever. How boring. We've all seen a cage fight.
We've all seen a stripper.
I've never seen a stripper. There weren't a lot of strippers in Northwatch, as a rule.
Ferric grabs Adalia by the shoulders.
Do you want yes. to bail on these nerds and go to a strip club?
I mean, yes, absolutely I do, but...
One step strip club?
Is that...
Cody, get ready for an impromptu fantasy strip club.
Don't you think Ambrose would be very cross?
The biggest nerd of them all. Fine, we can strip here.
While this is happening, I'm finally walking down the stairs, just like meeting up with the group. But because now that I have the gauntlets of ogre power attached to me, I'm completely jacked now. Sure. With the gauntlets.
Ferric, look, just like the poster.
This whole time, Pickles has been Navarra's worst nightmare. She's looking for books about dragons and is just pulling them randomly off the shelves that have previously been organized and just like, nope, throwing them behind her. All the way, just following along.
Navarra is directly behind her, cursing in Celestial, so it sounds pretty. And she's going to like every now and then like prestidigitate like an area and clean it up and then organize it. And as she's doing this, she's going to kind of let down her defenses and do divine sense and see. Specifically, she's mostly doing it for Spunkles. And she wants to see if anyone around and in the room is evil. And she would kind of like sense an odor if someone is. Including the dude pretending to read. And the pretty boy.
Spunkles is not evil. Leave him alone.
Can you link
this
me the ability?
This is her first time seeing. Yeah.
Ambrose tried to murder him.
I'm looking at the 1-inch tall like video of Tyrell, and I'm just like...
Yeah, he's sweating right now. I'm looking at you right now.
How are you feeling? Vibe check from everyone.
Yeah.
Feeling fine, feeling good.
Special fiend and undead.
Well, you'll never know if Count Strahd von Zarevich is here.
I am deep in my Curse of Strahd campaign right now, by the way. Shit is moving. It's very exciting.
Well, it says here that you get to locate a celestial fiend or undead. The strong sense of evil...
That's what I'm wanting mainly to hone in on, is just kind of like open up. I'm not too concerned if anyone's a celestial or not. I'm more so trying to sense if I can feel evil anywhere and kind of
like,
get that,
are the people who
smell.
Killed 1,000 folks in Farrington evil or just fuck ups? That's a fair thing to want to know at this point.
This spell reads weird. Is it celestial fiends or undead that are evil?
So they say the evil thing, but as written, you can't, like, it doesn't
detect alignment, like in Pathfinder or something like that. It detects whether, like, she'll know if a celestial is there, she'll know if a fiend is there, she'll know if something is undead is there.
Yeah, that first evil, sentence is problematic flavor text that makes it sound like it's part of an ability.
Yeah. But it's technically, like, you would know if, like, celestials, which are predominantly good, and fiends, which are predominantly bad, and undead, which are can be, I mean, that's a gray area, but usually bad in a lot of cases.
That's just such an odd first sentence, then.
Most first sentences of any given ability or spell are descriptive flavor. That one just happens to sound like it's mechanics, which I don't think is well written.
Well, especially because in the past, that exact type of spell would have detected alignment, which there is no alignment detection in 5e from what I'm not gonna make that promise. I don't know for sure. I don't think there are, if it, many alignment detecting spells for 5e.
Well, you definitely would know that Ravenaugh is a Aesimer. There he's a celestial. You would know that the librarian is undead.
What? I beg your pardon?
Love that. Just leave him be. Sweet old man.
Just let him live, you know, or unlive.
I knew something. I knew shit that. The moment I walked in.
Cody, what do you want me to roll for the dragon stuff?
Go ahead and roll investigation checks. Go ahead and roll me one investigation check with advantage.
Can I have, instead of Pickles rolling, can I have Spunkles roll instead? Because Spunkles has a lot more intelligence than Pickles does.
See why not. You could give Spunkles advantage.
Spunkles is primarily looking. Pickles is just holding up, open the books.
Here, allow me, Mother. I think I could be some assistance.
That's still 14 for Spunkles.
It's not bad.
He definitely finds some books about dragons, but being here from Mornstead, they are all written from a very specific perspective about how dragons are evil and dragons brought about, you know, all the problems of the world, and that if you see one, you should probably kill it.
Fair.
And you do see one book of interest about Farrington's history and why they built on top of that dragon. And according to the book, they imprisoned the dragon there and they had a temple there. And the temple became a place of trade and commerce, and eventually a town sprung up around it. And that even the knights of old thought, maybe we shouldn't build a city here, but it was just one of those things that kind of just, it was out of their hands. Like, they had the temple there, people came there on pilgrimage, they needed a place to stay, they needed stuff to eat, they needed, you know, eventually a town formed.
I mean, they could have just said, there's a dragon underneath the ground, and I'm pretty sure people wouldn't have stayed, but, you know, I'm not the people of old. She just throws that book as well.
You would be surprised.
Sorry, Navara. I'm not going to help pick these up.
Anyone else would like to do some research?
Yeah, I have one more thing I need to look at, and it's specifically anything related to the master. I'm trying to gather any intel between the demigods working together and the master of them ever having a form of relationship between the two. Essentially, like, I have this theory of between the master wants to become, like, this one sole god. He's probably using the relationship of the demigods, you know, to heighten their levels as gods as well. And just kind of, like, something that I've thought of, and I'm trying to pull up anything that would have that intel.
Okay. Give me a history or religion investigation, whichever is best.
Would I have advantage with that because of Adalia's
spell? Yeah, if you get that spell.
Yeah.
Okay.
If he swung by Adalia's little corner, she would have cast Enhance ability on him.
Plus 7.
Damn.
24.
Yeah, you find a lot of books about the demigods, the various ones that may be the children of the crystals, even the prince and stuff like that. You know, they're all essentially children of the crystals. The demigods often work together in a attempt for one reason or another to vie for power, to gain control over the mortal coil, to maybe even ascend and replace one of their parents as, you know, the avatar of an aspect. But there is no records of any of them ever working with the Master. All the records that you find on the Master, he's pretty individual. Usually works on his own.
Is there anything that explains, like, the powers of the Master, essentially?
He's a very mysterious figure that, according to your records, he never really had any power. Like, the records here in Mornstead, they describe it as a false religion. He has no power. He's never once done anything to prove he's real. He's not real. And they can't understand why, like, that whole country believes in him.
Revanov, do you know anything between the demigods and the witch and the prince?
I don't.
All right.
Sorry, I wish I could be more help.
How's everyone else's luck?
I found nothing.
Nothing?
Ambrose, look, I found a poster for a man named the Rock of Bristol. And I thought he was a stripper, but apparently he's some sort of fighter. Boring. But he's in Everton, or was. But look, it was successful.
Is the paper dated? Or just looks old? Like, if this is like one night only, would it have the night on it?
Yeah, it was about 6 months ago.
And this is our lead. I roll it up.
But I did...
Probably going to head to Everton.
Search incredibly thoroughly, and there is nothing in this entire library about the topic that we discussed.
Mm. Actually, that reminds me, there actually may be something. And I'm actually going to look for one more thing. Look for anything that is like Grung history in the Takari Wilds.
Okay.
You still have advantage. It lasts for an hour.
Yeah. Would that be... It wouldn't be religion. That would just be history?
Be history, investigation.
Say no more. 25.
Nice.
Nice.
You only find one book that mentions the Grung even in passing.
Okay.
And it very casually says that off the coasts of the Takari Wilds, deep under the ocean, there is an emperor of frog people. They call themselves the Grung. And, you know, these records are pretty old. And it says that they've tried to make contact with them once or twice, but they are pretty isolationist. They don't really talk to outsiders. But they have a pretty advanced society, and we were able to communicate with a few of them. But there's no, like, mass communications. There's no records of any Grung living in Mornstead. Pretty rare.
Idalia, did Spunk tell you anything else before his passing? And Ferric as well?
Well, he spoke of making some sort of deal that went poorly. And he spoke of the loss of a great many. The children. He spoke of a great tragedy. But he died before I could learn more.
Did he have any additional titles? Nicknames? Anything else that would appear in textbooks?
Hang on. I have it written down somewhere. What did he call himself? The hero of North Beach. I don't know what that means.
I'll write that down. All right.
Well, this felt pointless. Can we go home?
Not having fun, Pickles?
I mean, I didn't find anything. We've been just around dusty books all night.
All right. Well, I was hoping for it to be a little better, but as we got some little bit of intel.
Well, Ambrose, I found a few things, and Eugene will relay what he learned of the prince, even though most of that is stuff we already knew, but especially we'll explain what he learned about the Blackwood and the demigods therein. Ambrose might have known that already, but Eugene didn't.
I not.
I do think he tells you that one piece of key information, though, Ambrose, that killing her in this plane is impossible. She just goes back to the Blackwood.
Right.
Yeah.
I look at Ravenov, I nod to him after that intel.
I think we know what we have to do, then.
You done here?
Yep. Sorry we woke you up, Ravenov. I mean, we probably could have just let you sleep.
Well...
It was informative, at least.
I really appreciate your help, though.
Anytime.
We didn't know what we would find. it was possible that we might have made some sort of great revelation, and if we are all to work together, it is best if we don't leave anyone out of those moments. I hope we didn't disrupt your sleep schedule too much.
Oh, I think I will survive. There'll be plenty of time for beauty rest in the future. I do have questions about the young dragon, but I can ask those questions tomorrow and on the road in the future. But
I mean, you could talk to him, so you just have conversation on the road.
Yes, of course, that's, you have no idea. I've never actually gotten the chance to speak to a dragon. Usually they are trying very hard to kill me and my men.
Well, I mean, I can't guarantee he won't do that, but there's a strong chance he won't.
Well, very good. Anyways, I will take my leave and head back to my barracks, and I will see you all in the morning.
Good night, Sir Ravenel. Thank you for accompanying us.
Yes, good night to you all. Rest well. You all look like you could use just a little bit before your next journey. And he will leave the library.
You guys want to get drinks?
Ferrick holds out the growlers.
Growler.
Did you finish them all? Pass me one.
Here you go.
I pull out my giant arm now that's ripped, and I grab the growler.
The gauntlets of ogre power change your physique, not just your strength.
Yes,
output.
They nice. Literally okay. Made me
for the sake of this, absolutely they do.
Yeah, Eugene's eyes just trace the muscles.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Oh.
His eyeballs follow the like massive vein that passes from the bicep.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Well, I think I'm gonna go back. You guys can go out if you want.
Oh, Pickles, may I come with you?
I mean, yeah, I'm just going back to Ambrose's house. That's where you're gonna stay too.
Yes, I know. I just didn't know if you wanted to be alone.
Oh, I don't care. You're more than welcome to come. We've just gone out. Just a party and then more drinking and then it's just like I kind of just want quiet. You can come though.
Yes, well, I'll come back with you then.
Okay.
If you all want to go out, enjoy yourselves.
To be honest, I'm actually with you, Pickles. I'll come back as well. We've been going hard a couple days.
Adalia does still have her growler.
Navarre too.
Just me and you, Ferrick?
Ferrick's ears droop down at like nobody wanting to party.
Oh.
And then like faces Ambrose. Well, are we partying or what?
I'm not a party.
Ferrick and Ambrose on the town. What an interesting combination.
We don't have to. I have board games at home too if you guys want.
Board games.
Oh my god, board games.
Ugh, board games.
Who would ever play a board game when you could play life?
I did know there's a really cool club in the Copper Quarter we can head to.
Oh, going club. All right,
well, we go and we celebrate a job well done. You all can go to sleep and be nerds. How about that?
That sounds like a glorious evening. The two of you have fun. And Adalia will stand up on her tiptoes and kiss Ferrick's cheek. Don't do anything I wouldn't do.
Ferrick blushes and, you know, just kind of, like, shuffles their feet a little bit.
And Adalia will just turn and follow Pickles out of the library.
Pickles already left.
Yep. That makes sense.
Yeah, Eugene will be filling that role where he's kind of keeping an eye on Pickles and waiting for Adalia to catch up so that the party can kind of stay together.
Navarre, did you say you wanted to come home as well?
Yes, thanks. One more night. I won't continue.
So yeah, I guess we head back. And when we get back, Adalia would like to pull Pickles aside for something, but if we want to touch on the party boys first, it's fine.
Yeah. So, you guys head down to the Copper Quarter, and you find, that club that Ambrose was talking about. Club Hysteria.
Hysteria!
As we're walking, we're approaching, we're drinking growlers, I feel like... Ferrick knows that the fucking soul binding spell thing was like kind of tricksy, right?
The one with Evangeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you all are pretty on to that path at this point.
Okay.
Ambrose was pretty blunt.
Yeah, I said it was bullshit to everyone.
Do you? Oh my god, I'm so dizzy. Do you trust Navarre?
Yeah, I can tell that she's good.
Then how come the spell did not work? Is she trying to trick us?
No. I take another swig of my growler. Ferrick, I think, for once, I think the prince really fears us. What more of a better way could a god have two people that are really good killers, have them disappear and walk away from a problem if they just made it seem believable?
How does one mend a cloth that has been ripped, a vase that has been shattered? Seemingly impossible unless one reverses time. And Ferrick will take another drink.
I don't know what that means, Ferrick, but all I know, in the end, I'm going to shoot the prince's eyes out, and it will be glorious.
Ferrick cheers to that.
I say, to killing a god, and I hit his growler.
To killing many gods.
Now stop talking about work, I'm trying to get fucked up right now.
Fair enough. Are you also in love with this Ravenaw gentleman?
Me?
Yes, you.
I don't like guys.
Oh.
That doesn't mean you cannot be in love.
Is Ravenaw handsome? Of course he is. He's a literal celestial.
A what?
A celestial.
A what?
Listen, we just say handsome where I'm from.
All right. I like to imagine that, like, Ambrose and Ferrick are like Zoolander walking up in this club before we're ready.
Oh, God. It's pretty busy. There's a lot of people dancing.
And the whole entire time, while we're, like, you know, chatting and mingling, I'm like, this is the hero Mornstead, Ferrick over here. Just the whole time, just, like, upping up Ferrick's game.
I'm trying to wingman Ferrick.
And then I'm just dropping probably, like, 50 gold on drinks this whole entire night.
Oh my god.
You guys get bottle service?
Hell yeah, you get bottle service. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, this is Ambrose's town, man. Of course you get bottle service.
Jeez. Yeah, so, I mean, you guys stay out as late as you'd like. You have plenty of fun. It's the Copper Quarter, and things get pretty wild. There's a couple of fist fights. There's a couple of drunken people on the bar dancing, kicking over drinks, and getting thrown out by the bouncer. There's just a lot of craziness. There's some gambling going on. There's just all kinds of stuff. You see the dagger doing his thing over in the corner. He waves over at you guys.
Hell yeah.
Is he daggering?
He's
daggering it up.
He looks like he's shaking someone down for money, doing the protection racket thing, but then he sees you guys and waves, and then he goes back to like grabbing a guy by the collar and throwing him up against the wall.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Ferrick is going to use criminal contact to talk to the dagger. And kind of be like, don't give him too hard of a time, basically.
I love it.
Roll a persuasion check.
Persuasion.
I just imagine when he said that he turned and waved to him, it's like the like Family Matters thing.
I was literally thinking of that. We're just being a shadow by his side.
That's a 14 persuasion.
He looks at the guy, lets him go, and says, you're lucky the hero of Mornstead's here. And he turns around and walks away, walks up to you guys, sits down. So, who's buying?
Ambrose is.
I already have. I put on the tap. I'm assuming it goes up to 50. I'm not spending any more than 50 gold at a fucking cheap shitty bottle club.
At the shitty cop recorder club.
He hangs out with you guys for a little while and talks shop. Eventually, though, he finishes his drink and slides it across the table and says, well, thanks, guys. It's been a real pleasure. Just want to let you guys know, if I ever hear anything fucked up like my sister telling me she died again, you'll be the one dying. He gets up and walks away.
Okay.
Cheers.
Wait. I got one more. Mr. Dagger, I have one more question for you.
Yeah. He stops.
And this is for Ambrose too. If I talk to your face sculptor, would I look weird with lips?
No. I thought you looked normal the first time. Or do you mean just lips on your beak?
Like, no, not lips on my beak, but just lips. Would that be weird?
With no beak?
Yeah. Would I look stupid?
Beric, are you trying to kiss Adalia? Is that the reason why?
Shut up, Ambrose! Beric, like, shoves Ambrose off their stool.
You actually don't, and I just stand still, because I'm absolutely brawling.
I go to push you, and, like, I slide over.
Oh my god, it's so sweet.
Beric, it's not much of a surprise at all. Everyone knows it.
Oh my god, Ambrose, shut up. Shut the fuck up, Ambrose.
If I gotta give you any advice, I would just say be yourself.
God, that's dumb advice.
That is the worst advice, Dagger. Thank you, though.
He shrugs and he's like, she already likes you.
Love you, Dagger.
Take care. Stop threatening us.
We'll see.
An incredible interaction.
Oh, by the way, your sister's an incredible fighter.
Well, hopefully she doesn't keep dying.
I mean, she was strangling Zaos for literally 20 minutes straight. It was incredible.
I know. I'm happy to hear it. I'm proud. Just don't let anything like that happen again and we won't have any problems. You're supposed to be the ones keeping her safe out there.
Roger that. So, Ferrick, how long is this going to... Like, is this official? Or is this,
Is what official?
Beric, is it official?
It's what official?
You and Adalia.
Oh my god, shut up, Ambrose. I don't know. How do I make this thing official? How does even one know what official is?
Don't ask me. I've never been with anyone.
Ambrose, I didn't know you're
so... It's not a sad thing. I've just been busy my whole entire life. I'm not
saying it's sad. It's just surprising. I mean, you're so muscular now.
Thank you.
Oh my god, this is the best thing.
It's time for another party.
I'm happy for you, Beric. You two look really happy. And you guys both deserve to be happy. And I take a shot.
Before the shot can leave your lips, both giant bear arms are wrapped around you.
Aww, I'll give you a hug too. I squeeze you with all my might.
So much might.
Ambrose! You're gonna pick me for Ambrose! Too tight!
Oh, sorry. Totally forgot. That used the augmentations.
Holy shit! God, I have bird bones. You could have broken me.
Oh, please. You're the toughest fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
All right. Well, let's go back to Ambrose's estate and join the rest of the party. You guys make your way back. Ambrose's house is dark as you enter, but it quickly livens up with your bright and smiling faces.
Eugene immediately starts looking around for the board games that Ambrose mentioned. He's like, I heard that Ambrose had board games. I love board games. I especially love the ones where you get to play as a little, like, role that gives you, that lets you be someone that's not you for a little while. I just think that that's so fun. I definitely find some board games. I got a 25. I imagine.
The DMing himself.
Right, Houses and Humans.
Houses and Humans.
Yeah, you find some dragon tits. You find a deck of cards.
Yeah, it probably takes me entirely too long to realize that, like, especially Pickles is not in the mood in any way, shape, or form.
Adalia would have tried to steal Pickles away almost immediately. Miraz, dear.
As soon as she heard board game, she'd be like, yes.
Yes. Miraz, dear, I would love to play board games another night, but, could we postpone?
Oh, okay, sure, yes.
Marvelous.
Yeah, you know, we played so much over our travels, and it's, you know, it's always so great, and I always love it so much. but, like, Adalia really needs me right now. Maybe Navarro will play.
Yes.
I'm sure there's something for two.
Absolutely. I need all of the books so I can read all of the rules first.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
I met your 17 insight with a 17 deception.
Yeah, I, like, Eugene side-eyes Pickles. He's like, wait, she's not being sarcastic. No, she's not being sarcastic. I don't think she's being sarcastic. And then he starts, like, passing the rule books over to Navarra.
Adalia would ask Pickles to join her in her bedroom, which is very sparse. There's nothing about it that looks like anyone lives there except the bag of flour that's in a place of honor on her, like, vanity. Pickles, I was hoping you could help me with something.
Yeah, sure. What's up?
Well, we haven't had a lot of time to be quiet and reflective since I've met you, but there's something I do when I lose someone, and I could use some help. And Adalia is gonna go into her, like, pack, essentially, and pull out a set of jeweler's tools, and then kind of, like, strip off the outer layer of her clothes so that all of her, or her tunic, so that all of her tattoos are kind of visible. I got the first one with my sister after our parents died, and then I just kept losing people. And it's just, it's the way I remember them. And most of the space I have left is on my back, and I know that you are artistically bent. And I was hoping you could help me.
Yeah, sure. This'll be cool.
I can show you how it works. And okay. Adalia has a place on her chest right over her heart that is, like, blank of these chiseled tattoos. And she sits down in front of the mirror and starts kind of, like, tracing lines into her skin with this teeny tiny chisel and hammer. I always knew I would lose her, you know, my sister.
Oh.
I think I expected to lose all of them, actually. I didn't, until I met all of you, I didn't see a way to win. I thought we would all struggle and struggle until we couldn't any longer.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I feel like I should be mourning her more than I am. But I think maybe I've been grieving for her all my life. I knew she wasn't something I could keep. And Adalia just kind of puts in another geometric spot on her chest until it kind of blends in with everything else that she has. And then when she's done, she'll hand the tools to Pickles. For Spunk, please. And for Christopher.
Of course.
I trust your judgment. And she'll just turn her back to Pickles.
Does this hurt?
They all hurt.
Okay. Well, let's give it a shot. And Pickles will start chiseling into Adalia's back, giving her some nice abstract, like, geometric type design that goes along with all the rest of her tattoos and marks. One for Spunk and one for Christopher. Completely silence while she goes, trying to really focus and make them quite nice.
Yeah, as a rune carver, I think you'd be particularly adept at this, Pickles. Some time goes by, and I think you would complete them.
I used to have tattoos, I think. They're gone.
They
weren't really tattoos, though. Yeah, I'm seeing my brother kind of triggered it. They were, everybody in the family has tattoos. Kind of denotes the different ranks and stuff. That's why he's got so many. Yeah, but, like, I had fur, so tattoos didn't show up, so I got branded instead. So I had those for a while, but it looks like they're gone. Whatever Christopher did that, you know, healed everything, Must have healed those two. Kind of miss them, though. You want to give me one? Do you think it would work? She, like, dinks against her new skin.
I mean, I know you aren't afraid of a little pain. Would you like to find out?
Yes, please.
What would you like?
Be fun. Oh, I don't know. How about a dagger for my brother? That'd be nice.
I think we can do that.
Maybe do it, like, I don't know, like, on my inner arm, so if it comes out horribly, I don't have to show it, since we're just kind of trying this out. I mean, I trust you completely, but I, like, if this ends up, I don't know how this is going to work.
Sure. And Adalia will take the tools and start chiseling a sort of abstract dagger, since mostly she does these, like, geometric shapes on herself.
Mm-hmm.
I did this for my sister once in a while. She was better at it than I am.
I'm sorry we killed your sister.
I'm sorry you never got to meet her. I think you would have liked her.
Probably.
I don't think she and I both knew we weren't long for this world. I don't think she would blame you. She was a freedom fighter, you know.
I mean, you both were.
She believed even more than I did. And if she died in the process of someone being freed from bondage, I'm not sure she would be sorry. She would be very proud of us for what we did.
Oh, that's good. I'm still sorry.
Thank you.
Can we hide out in here for the rest of the night? I really don't want to play board games.
Yes, of course. I will play board games, but maybe just not right now, you know?
He takes them so seriously.
That makes an enormous amount of sense.
So seriously, they are not fun. They're not.
Right.
It's just like, and like, he just keeps going. Like, you can't say, I want to take a break. No, you just got to finish the game. So, like, never play anything long with him.
Mm-hmm. Understood. So, yeah. Perhaps in other circumstances, but not tonight, I think.
So, about that Ravenaw. She was in the rest of the night with Adalia. Just girl talking about Ravenaw and Barrack. And yeah.
Amazing. And then we'll just hang out until, I assume, Adalia falls asleep and Pickles stays up forever.
Right.
Wanders off.
Eugene and Navara, how's the board games?
It's great. I mean... Eugene is glad to have someone that will sit down and play a board game with him.
What'd you guys end up settling on?
I'm definitely sweeping a house right now.
Oh, your choice, Navara.
Oh yeah, no. I'm role-playing and I'm sweeping a house right now. It's like a housewife thing. It's unlike anything I've ever heard of. I get to clean all day. It's incredible.
It's brilliant.
Wow.
And, yeah, Eugene will just sink into being, like, playing the roles of different, like, children that the housewife has to tend to, and the roles of merchants that have to come and go and bring letters and deliveries and whatnot. And for a while, he just enjoys the role of being someone who's not him. And then I don't know if Navara would actually enjoy it at all. I don't know if Eugene would even, like, pick that up at all. So, Allie, what is Navara, like, indulging Eugene, or is she actually getting anything out of their interaction here?
She's having so much fun.
Good.
She has a very serious life, and so, like, this is just the oddest bit of, like, fantasy land for her.
Right. Well, whether Eugene picks up on that at all or not, I imagine they just go at it for hours then if they're both invested in the game.
Absolutely.
Love that. A little fantasy escapism.
Right. How late do Ferric and Ambrose stay out?
I spent 50 gold on a copper club. We're staying out late.
All right.
We'll probably have to, like, get back at like 1 or 2 a.m. if that's okay with you, Ferric. Whenever you tell me we have to head back, I'll head back, you know?
How late?
1, 2, whatever you want
to
do.
Let's push it to 3.
4.
All right, let's do 3.
When we come back, are Eugene and Navara still playing board games?
Yeah, I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. You might even walk in on, like, Navara getting, like, super serious and, like, interrupting the game and being like, Eugene, I know that paladin's really pretty, but don't be enticed by him. I think he'll be very bad for you. maybe even worse than the prince.
You know, I just like looking at him. No, to be quite honest, Navara, my heart's already been taken by someone else.
Who?
It's Ambrose, you know.
Oh, he's so dreamy. Like, especially after he got that bill. Did you see those mugs?
Let's go!
Ding dong, hello! Is anybody home?
Coming, children!
Children?
Oh, you guys missed out on such a wonderful party.
Ambrose and Ferrick! What, how long have you been there?
Not long.
We just got here.
Okay. We just got here.
Great. Excellent. What was your night? Miraz's beet red.
It was magical. It was. What's that word?
Ambrose is like holding onto the wall, looking away, like he can't even pay attention right now. Just absolutely sick.
Good morning, everyone. What was that word that you taught me earlier, Ambrose? It was what was that word?
Indulgent? Indulgent.
Indulgent. It was indulgent. We indulged.
Excellent. And you just got in, right? Like, you haven't been there for a while.
How's your night?
Lovely. Eugene is so wonderful.
Great. I'm gonna go do the dishes while you guys...
Oh, we already... We took care of that. We took care of that, Ambrose. Go to bed.
We've cleaned the whole dishes. House.
I'm gonna try to get Ambrose upstairs and tuck him into bed like a little caterpillar under a leaf.
Like a little
caterpillar under a leaf. He's gonna be snoozing.
Do you need any help with the stairs there? You're both pretty out of it. We can help.
No, you stupid. I can fly. And Ferrick spreads their arms and falls.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I grab Ferrick? Can I grab Ferrick? Where are you falling from?
I'm just T-posing and then falling forward.
No, I didn't grab you. I'm not gonna let you eat shit on the ground.
I'll attempt to grab him.
I'm gonna take Ferrick upstairs. I got it. Don't worry about it. But yeah, I hoist Ferrick, fireman, pick up, and I walk him upstairs. Have a good night, y'all. I don't know. Walk upstairs.
Good night, Empress.
Don't talk to me.
Oh. Poor buddy.
Yeah, Eugene will just glance at Navara and then hang his head.
You know, I think if you get that same belt, you could hoist him up the stairs. I was trying to distract Ferrick to go to Adalia, but he had to try and fly.
Yeah, yes. Ferrick has flown, but he needs Adalia's help for it.
Can you all shut the fuck up? It's like 3 a.m.
Pickles!
Sorry, Pickles.
Do you want to come be one of my children?
You just hear the door slam.
Oh, Navara, it's been lovely, but it is rather late. I think that we should turn in as well. We've got a lot to do tomorrow.
Fine. Okay. Thank you for this. It was so fun. Thank you.
It was. We'll have to see if we can take this on the road.
Oh, absolutely.
I drop Ferrick off in the bed, and I tuck him exactly like how he said he was going to tuck me. And then I get to my room, and for the first time, I don't have my door locked, which has like a series of multiple locks. And the door is slightly creeped open, but it's very dark. And I lay in my bed and pass out.
Nice. Everyone else goes to bed then?
Yeah. Adalia's already asleep.
As much as one can.
All right. So everyone goes to sleep and has a nice rest. Everything seems very peaceful in the house. Eugene, as you drift away into slumberland,
oh, God.
Things get very hazy for you. It starts to feel a little bit hard to breathe, like you're in a thick, steamy room. When you scratch your eyes to open your eyes, you see everything is very dark pink, and you're walking through a field of just veils, like lace. Eventually, you come into a large open area where there's just a big love seat, and you see your favorite demigod laying on it, eating a bunch of grapes.
Oh, well, hello there, Eugene. Please make your way forward. I would like to speak with y'all.
Eugene will do so. For a long moment, he doesn't move. He doesn't say anything. He just stares. And then, wordlessly, he approaches.
Would you hold these for me? He hands you the grapes.
Eugene suppresses a sigh, and he does as he is told. He holds the grapes for the prince.
Oh, no. He reaches up with his mouth and grabs one.
Thank you so much, Eugene. You have been a very helpful servant. More helpful than most these days. Would you like to know how?
Enlighten me.
You and your friends have brought to me my crown jewel. You have restored Evangeline's spirit to me, and I am so thankful.
Oh my god.
What can I do to repay you? Would you like more powers?
For a long moment, Eugene does nothing other than holding the grapes out for the prince to keep eating. He'll
he
say,
does. Okay. He giggles.
So Evangeline is safe then and restored?
Oh yes, she's here with me, where she belongs. Would you like to see her, Eugene?
Please.
Would you like to see her do her dance for you again?
And he lifts his hand and a beam of pink light comes down from the sky as Evangeline twirls down and smiles, waves at you. Doesn't she look so happy?
Doesn't it benefit you for her to appear happy before me? Show me her as she really is. You said you would do something for me. I don't want more power, Prince. I want truth.
He kind of laughs and says, oh, Eugene, I don't think you are ready to handle the truth. I think you should just be happy with what I've offered you.
I've told you what I request.
He shrugs, snaps his fingers, and Evangeline turns to a pile of dust. She's dead, Eugene. She's dead. But she's safe with me. She's fine.
What have you done to her?
I've done nothing except claim what is mine. But I can offer you a deal. You like deals?
Depends on the terms.
You seem to think that Evangeline's soul being in my possession is a bad thing. So I'll offer you the chance to own it for yourself. How's that sound?
I need significantly more information than that, Prince.
It's as simple as that. Souls for souls, Eugene. I require souls. You bring them to me.
Eugene would consider the offer, and he would think back to him and Ferrick in the Black Rose Tavern as they were talking, and Ferrick entreating Eugene to either give up power from the prince or at minimum not take more power from the prince. Eugene will hold the grapes a little bit out of reach, and he will say, I don't think so.
He's going to sit up and grab your hand. His eyes are going to get very fiery, and he's going to say,
I am not one to be trifled with, Eugene. Now you will give me my grapes, and you will give me my souls, or you will find I'm not one to take lightly.
So he's sitting on the love seat. I'm still standing holding the grapes, so I will lean over him and look down on him, and I will say, Prince, I am not one to be trifled with. Now unhand me.
He shakes his head.
I thought we had an understanding.
You thought wrong.
Maybe I did.
I'll drop the grapes.
He lets go of your hand. You let go of the grapes. He lets go of your hand. You wake up in a huff. You're sweating. You're panting. The room is hot and steamy. The windows are foggy. And that is where we'll end it for the night.
Whew.
Thanks for joining me, everybody. I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Couldn't do it without you, the listener, the most important member. So come tell us what you think. Come join our little community. We've got a great little group going on Discord. discord.gg/thehomebrewpodcast. Come tell us what you think of the prince and Eugene. You know, I thought it was a pretty good deal. I don't know why Eugene's problem is, but whatever. You know, if you got a couple extra bucks, come check out our Patreon. Patreon.com/thehomebrew. $2 gets you access to all kinds of cool stuff. We've got rotating PDFs. I believe by the time this comes out, we'll have Jack Rackman will have just released from Sanity Damage. That's one of my characters, so, you know, go check that out. We've got beautiful rotating monthly art. Go check out. We've got one of Evangeline that is still my background to this day. Go check it out. We've got a lot of cool offerings. You know, shout outs on the show like at the beginning of every episode, like you hear. That's how you get one of those. If you'd rather have something more tangible, go check out our dice sponsor, FanRollDice.com. Use promo code HOMEBREW at checkout. Get 10% off. And I'm pretty sure you get 10% off everything on the whole website, not just dice. I know I'm always trying to get you guys to buy dice, but that's just because I would want the dice. I think you can get 10% off anything. And remember, you are loved. You are loved as much as the failures love to go to the club, like, every night that they've been in Morningstone. You are important. You are important as the board games that everyone loves to avoid. No one wants to play those board games. And you matter. You matter as much as the prince, who matters the most. He's the most important character, so you guys need to get on his good side.
Oh, God.
Ugh. Boo.
See you next week.
Boo.
Rubbish, filth, slime.
Slime, the queen of refuse.